Okay, let's be real. Do you know how much Jesus loves you?
You are being real with Owen Varley.
He's got more for you.
9:30 a.m. exclusively on Impact 103.
Welcome this morning to Being Real here with me, Owen Farley. It is now 20 to 10 on this beautiful Tuesday morning, and I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be chatting about today, because again, it gives us an opportunity to be real, to actually just stop and be real and take a look at our hearts and our minds, challenge the way that we think and be transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus, which is love. And I'm telling you, this is something that I am pursuing. I am pursuing to be like Jesus. I want his love. I want to be able to step into society and actually be able to shine the light that Jesus shined, which was love. Love overtook society. Love changed me. Love changes the world. And this is what I really want to be able to carry, to be like him, to be a disciple. And that's what we're going to carry on in our discussion with today, is what we discussed yesterday on what it takes to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. Also, we have Challenge for Change coming up a little bit later. And I'm going to be testifying as well, just a bit about what it took me to make that decision and to constantly make that decision on what it means for me to be a disciple. And hopefully that testimony will be able to just really help you in your own decision and your walk with the Lord to actually just say, Lord, I want what you have for me. I want you. You're my prize. I want to be a disciple. I want love. And so stay tuned, because all of that is coming up. The Bible does say in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me and cut off from vital union from me, you can do nothing. And Challenge to Change is really about us just being able to join together as a community, encourage each other to really learn about the things of the kingdom of God and put it into practice. So if you'd like to be a part of that, just let me know on our WhatsApp line on 071-364-0376. And I will be able to see if I can contact you throughout the week to see if we can test each other out and encourage you in your walk in what the challenge for this month really is, which is actually stepping out in love. And how else are we going to do that unless we abide in his word? That's how we produce fruit. That's how we, our Father, the Bible says, is glorified when we show that fruit that we produce after being in the word of God. And it says in John 15, verses 8, when you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. And then in John 12, 24, it says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. And this is kind of the challenge that I'm feeling at the moment, just to put out there. And what we're talking about today is actually, how can we be a real disciple of Jesus Christ? And it really does come down to the price that you are willing to pay for the kingdom. And here in the scripture, it says, you're going to need to die. You're going to need to lay down your life, your desires, your interests, and a few other things. And we're going to be talking about that and expanding on that a little bit more. So stay tuned in this next hour coming up, because we're going to have a really great conversation that's going to be real, that's going to be provoking. And I pray that the Holy Spirit really does work in your heart and reveal to you what it is he is asking of you, what price he's asking of you today. It's very dear to my heart. It is a topic that is kind of a juicy one and is a confrontational one, because being a real disciple of Jesus Christ, it costs something. It costs a decision inside of your heart that really is counting everything that you have and saying that, Lord, whatever price it takes, I'm going to pay it. Whatever you ask me to do, I am going to do it. In Luke 9:23, it says, "And he said to all of them, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget and lose sight of his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conforming wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also." Now, what a challenge. What a challenge that God actually put in front of us, that Jesus said, if you really want to be my disciple, you have to lose your own interests, your own desires, and come after me. This is definitely a price. I remember being in a little bit younger, studying at Varsity, and just thinking, Lord, I want to achieve so much. I have all these dreams, these desires. And then God said to me, I have more for you. I want you to lay these down so that I can teach you about my kingdom, so I can show you the realness of my love. And then the Bible says, and this is one of our challenge for change scriptures, it says, no one has greater love, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down and give up his own life for his friends. And that's John 15, verse 12. It's such a powerful one. Like, what are you willing? This is just a question. What are we willing to really pay to see Jesus in our lives, to see the kingdom break out in our lives? What are we really, really ready to give up? And if we are ready to give it up, let's give it up wholeheartedly. Let's make sure that we are surrendered to the will of God and everything that he wants in our lives. I love that line in that song that says, I will go where no one goes. Go where no one goes. I mean, there's a price that we have to pay to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a price that it takes to give up our own interests, as we read before. And now there's another thing that God says, and this one struck me because, oh man, it really struck me. Let me read it first before I go there. It says in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude towards God, and likewise even his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not persevere and carry his own cross and come after and follow me cannot be my disciple. And I was like sitting there reading this, and I was having a hard time. I was having a hard time because I love my family. I love my family. And I was saying, Lord, is it going to cost me giving up my family to you and saying, doesn't matter what they think or they say, but actually following after what you're telling me to do, even if they don't understand? And I could hear a resoundingness in what the Lord was telling me. Yes, it's going to take that. It's going to cost you everything. Count the cost. But at the same time, remember that the reward for what your decision is going to be tremendous. And this is the thing that gave me a hope that said, Lord, even though you're asking me to give up and to lay down my interests, my desires, and now my family, my wife, my kids, I'll do it. Whatever price it takes, I'm going to do it. So stay tuned, because after this, I'm going to actually testify about something that the Lord actually had to do in me in facing these moments, and was such a powerful outcome because I learned so much. And something I was definitely praying on after hearing that scripture in Luke 14:26, when God had said, I want you to give up. I want you to hate even your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters in regards to your affection to me. In other words, every single person needed to come second in my life. And I realized that it wasn't like that. I had the order of God all wrong, and my priority to place God first was compromised. And at that point, I really got on my knees and I said, Lord, I love my family. And he said, Owen, don't worry. I've got your family in my hands. I've got got them in my hands and I will not let them go. So you don't have to take care of them. You don't have to make sure this happens or that happens. I am their provider. I will protect them. I am the one that is their savior. You are not. And it struck me so hard. And I went along this process of actually saying, Lord, what kind of relationship do you actually want me to have with my family? What does it look like? And he started to explain to me what relationships based in his spirit actually look like, how they see people through the eyes of God, and they see them just the way God created them, without any of the added things that life places on them, whether it be fear or whatever it may be. We don't see that. We see those people. And I started getting this revelation. And the one time I went through to my family and actually described to them, please, this is the revelation that I've had on having a relationship. And I want a deeper relationship with you. This is the way that I feel that we should go about it. And I'm telling you, it was a hard conversation because something... And this is very real. I'm just going to be very, very real. And the hopes in me being very real is so that you can be encouraged with what you're going through. And I pray that whatever you need to get out of this, that the Holy Spirit will bring it to the surface for you. Because my family and I were going through kind of being exposed on having relationships in the soul. And God was showing us how important it was to get out of those things that are unstable and get into that which is really stable. Don't have relationships on what you like, what you don't like, on a certain way of thinking, but rather have relationship in and through my spirit. And as we were having that conversation, there was a lot of misunderstanding. And I think largely it was because of my part on actually being able to explain what it is that I was actually seeing, you know? But I was amazed at the grace of God on it, because a few months later, after this conversation, our family was still going through a tense time, you know, a tense moment and not understanding how to move forward in relationships. And then all of a sudden, we went away together as a family, actually through there to Bella Bella by Wombas. And we were sitting in one of the pools over there. And all of a sudden, my mom turned to me and she said, "You know what, Owen, I got it." And I was like, "What do you mean you got it?" She said to me, "I got what you meant when you said you're going to have relationships in the spirit." And as she said that, I just started to break down, because she started to unpack how God had explained it to her and how she received revelation from God. And it's something that I absolutely love about my family, is that when they don't understand something, or when we have like a logheads, you know, it's like I'm seeing it this way, they seeing it that way, or we actually all just stop and we go and we look in the Word of God and we say, "Lord, what is it that you say about this? Do I need to change my mindset on the way that you see this?" And as soon as that happens, everybody is in this humble place and we're able to actually join together in a way that has never been seen before. As it says in Mark 10, it says, if you give up your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father, your children's, your lands, if you give them up for the gospel and for the sake of Jesus, he will give you back 100 times your mothers, your brothers, your sisters. And I literally experienced that. I literally experienced my relationship with my parents and my family members going through the roof in the quality of relationship that I had with them. And it was just such a reminder of coming back through to that first decision when I was exposed with that scripture that says, give up your family. If you don't hate them in regards to your compassion and your love for me as God, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. And as I took that stand, as I saw how God moved in my life and in my relationships, it just confirmed God really does have my best interest at heart. He loves me and he wants the best, not only for me, but for everyone around me. And when I stand in something that God has shown me to do, it always brings life. I love that song. I love that song. It is time today on this beautiful Tuesday for Challenge for Change. the Word of God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, this is the challenge.
The challenge.
It's to memorize scripture so that we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're equipped with the weapon of the word to stand our ground in the very moment that we need it. It's like a hammer that breaks into pieces even the most stubborn rock of resistance.
And sometimes I feel like, man, there's things that I'm going through that might take a lifetime, but I have to have faith.
Listen. Talk about it.
Every Monday and Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. on Being Real with Owen Farley. You are being challenged to change here on Impact 103. Rise to the challenge.
All right, today I have someone different here for Challenge of Change, which is really, really exciting. Hi, Tubby. How's it going?
I'm good. Doing good, and you?
I'm good. So, Luco is unable to join us because she's actually married. She's married and away on her honeymoon. And I really, really pray that she is blessed during that time. So, going down straight to Challenge for Change, right? Okay, you heard the intro. It's all about learning the scriptures, okay, and memorizing it so that we can be equipped. So the scriptures that I've given you right there in front of you, I want you to test me out on them, okay? I want you to choose one that is going to kind of challenge me to understand and know it off by heart. And I've kind of been putting in the effort this week, so I'm going to turn those upside down.
Okay, that's good.
And you go for it. Go.
Okay, let's go with 1 John 3:17.
1 John 3:17. Ooh, this is that good one that actually talks about how we as believers, if we have the finances that God is actually looking for us, like, if we have the finances, see that another person is in need, but withhold it, then how can the love of God be inside of us? I mean,
yeah, you've got the gist of it.
I've got the gist of it. I don't know that one exactly, but I got the gist.
So should I tell you what it says? Or
yes, go for it.
Okay, so give me the word. 1 John 3:17 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?"
How does this love abide? That word abide keeps on coming up for me this year.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, because if we abide in God, then we stay, we remain inside of him, right? And then everything that he wants to accomplish can actually be done. We become fruitful because we're remaining in his presence. So it's just like a word that's been standing out. Okay, ask me 1 Corinthians 13:4. I think I know this one.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:4.
Kind of cheating, yeah. Okay, so
I must say this.
Yes, go.
This translation that you have here, these words,
they're big, right?
Yeah, very big. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, okay. The reason I chose this translation for me is the Amplified version is because, like, I love the way that it describes every aspect of it. So that's what I love, because no matter what I'm in, no matter what situation, there's like a word for that situation. So here we go. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:4. It says, "Love endures long. It is patient and it is kind. It is not envious, nor does it boil over with jealousy. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not..." Oh, it's coming. It is not... give me a clue.
Rude.
Oh, it's not rude, unmannerly, or does not act unbecomingly.
Huh.
Mm. Love, that is God's love within us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful, and it pays no attention to a suffered wrong or takes no account to the evil done to it.
Oh, wow.
Love. Okay, wait. Love is, does not rejoice in injustice. Okay, does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love is ever ready to think the best of those around, I forgot the words, around them, ever ready to receive. Give me a clue here.
I'll tell you what you did.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
I asked for 1 Corinthians 13, 4. You ended up giving me 5, 6, and 7.
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's like I learned it in one big
thing. Well done. So well done. I don't even know where you are now. Well done.
Okay, I'll finish it off. Love never fails. Yeah. Love never fails. It never fades out, becomes obsolete, and never ends.
Hmm. Beautiful. Love never ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that so cool?
You've done well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I must admit, like going over that this week, what I loved about it was actually as I was busy trying to learn it, I had to meditate on it quite a bit and just sit and think. I don't know, just the way that I do it. Like when I learn something, it's easier if I understand really what it is that I'm saying. So what it forced me to do is actually take a look and say, okay, love is patient. And love does endure long. And then I start thinking of when have I been patient? When have I endured long, you know? And it kind of brought something up for me because I was speaking to God about that whole concept of being patient again. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I was like, Lord, but why do I feel like this is bee in my bonnet? You know, why do I feel impatient? I want these certain things to happen. I want them to happen now. And I was like, I don't understand. And I was actually speaking to my pastor about it. And something she said just like struck me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she said, what are you believing that is making you impatient? And I was like, ooh, okay. So I started asking God about that. And all of a sudden, he brought me back to something that I was believing a few years back. And I thought I had dealt with it. And somehow, it kind of sneakily snuck in again. And it was this lie that I was believing that I was insignificant. Whoa. How crazy is that?
Wow.
So I was believing I was insignificant, didn't matter, and because of that, now I want to make myself matter, and so I need to achieve X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
And so that makes me impatient when it's not happening because I feel like I need to matter. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And then all of a sudden, that whole thing was just, and it actually came down, renew your mind, Owen, on what, on your value, on your worth in God. And so all of a sudden, I had to change my mindset right there on, wait, I'm not insignificant. I actually have a value to God, you know? And there's this amazing scripture in Isaiah 43. It speaks about how I am precious in His sight. He's given me value and He loves me. And I was like, ooh, like that just set me free. All of a sudden, that impatience and anxiety that came from like wanting to do it, like X, Y, and Z, having to... Man, it kind of just fell away. So I hope that encourages.
That's awesome.
I hope that encourages whoever heard that today. But that was Challenge for Change. And Tabby, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you for testing me out, even though I was like, kind of like, you gave me some clues there. I appreciate it. But yeah, so if you want to join in with this challenge, please contact us on our WhatsApp line. Just let us know. Or you can actually go on the Impact 103 app and look at the podcast. And right there under the podcast, you'll see Being Real, the show Being Real. And it'll have all the scriptures that we are doing in that time. So thank you, Tubby. And God bless you. And everyone that's listening, God bless them. And I pray that you are just really equipped with everything that God has for you this week. And just remember that Jesus really does love you.